Grace and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. According to the custom received among us, Jordan Pizer is about to begin his service to you and to the Lord as our vicar. That everything undertaken in this task would rebound to the glory of God and serve as a blessing to this parish, hear what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We as workers plead with you to not receive the grace of God in vain. Now is the acceptable time of salvation. We give no offense at anything that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God. And Peter says in the fourth chapter of his first epistle, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do with the ability which God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We beseech the grace and the strength of the Holy Spirit upon this man and for ourselves this coming year. And so I ask you, Jordan Pizer, are you prepared to serve as vicar of this congregation, undertake the assignments given to you as one seeking training for the pastoral ministry, serve under the blessing of God? Answer, I am with the help of God.
I am with the help of God.
Almighty God, our Father, through your Son, you have commanded us to pray that you send laborers into your hearts. Bless, we pray, and send your Holy Spirit upon Jordan Pizer, that through his service as our vicar in this congregation, your word may be proclaimed and taught in joyfulness, and your church built upon the foundation which you yourselves have laid, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Jordan, our vicar, armed with the word of God, our Heavenly Father, and having confident trust in his gracious promise, enter upon your duties as vicar in this congregation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord our God bless your learning and your service, and grant you the constant companionship of his Holy Spirit, that in all things you might glorify him. Welcome him as our vicar, and we now sing the opening hymn, O Worship the King, hymn 804, and stand and face the cross as it enters the sanctuary, hymn 804.
Thank you.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We chant the introit on the insert.
Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace.
Teach me.
Thank you.
pray. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of your final judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here, and dwell with you in perfect joy hereafter. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 44. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come, and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old, and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no rock. I know not any. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue it with the psalm in the front of our hymnal, Psalm 134, chanting responsibly, whole verse by whole verse.
Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Zion, he who made heaven and earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The epistle is from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, the 8th chapter. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia.
Thank you.
according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
We continue with hymn 892. You may be seated.
Thank you.
the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we are given a view of what life really is. For Jesus says, let who has ears, let him hear. Today we have another summertime parable. Of course, last week it was the parable of the sower and the four different types of soil. But Jesus now continues with another parable, a summertime parable of the weed and the weeds. And the weed, the wheat, and the weeds are a picture of the real reality that most people can't see. So today we're going to see that Jesus wants us to be the wheat that bears good fruit, so that we are the righteous who will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father when Jesus comes again. Most people that you know don't believe a word of what I just said. Most people believe life is just day to day. Go to work, make money, accumulate stuff, go to sleep, get up in the morning, and do it all over again. Most people don't think there's an afterlife. They certainly don't believe there's a heaven, or a hell, or God, or the angels, or the devils. They think that everything that Jesus is speaking here is a fantasy. But woe to those who think such things, because even though they may not see these things with our eyes, these things are true. And that's what Jesus is going to give us today, a picture of true reality, both a warning and a joyous anticipation. The wheat and the weeds. This is the reality. Farmers all over Oklahoma plant their crops. Corn, wheat, soybean, canola, sorghum, peanuts, hay, cotton, and watermelon. And what do they wrestle with all summer, all spring and summer? They wrestle with weeds, crabgrass, goosegrass, black medic, purslane, carpet weed, spotted surge, knotweed, bull nettle, and dandelion. And yes, I had to look those up. There are so many weeds that come up in our yard. Woe to the person who gets some compost from the city of Norman and you put it in your grass and you have every weed known to man growing in your yard. Here our Lord Jesus Christ says, he who has ears, let him hear. What he means is, hear with your ears, comprehend with your head, your mind, and meditate with your heart. Consider today how the kingdom of heaven is like good seed sowed in the field. Jesus uses parables to teach us because he's teaching truths that our children can understand. Jesus doesn't give us long philosophical discussions. He gives us this picture of a field with wheat and the weeds coming up. A picture everyone can understand, especially in a rural society. Let's consider, first of all, the sower of the seed, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of Man. Secondly, what are the weeds that the devil has sown in the world? And then finally, how can we be good seed and wheat, the righteous ones, the sons of God? The sower of the seed, again, is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, just like last week. Jesus has been outside by the lake teaching all these people. He gives this parable of the wheat and the weeds, and then he goes into the house to explain to his apostles what this means. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. The crowds heard this and didn't really comprehend it. The disciples asked him to explain what this parable means. And so Jesus does us the favor of telling us exactly what each thing means. He says, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That is Jesus' favorite phrase to refer to himself as the Son of Man. The Son of Man, true man born of the Virgin Mary. The Son of God, true God, begotten of the Father in eternity. He shares our humanity and our flesh and blood. And especially in the book of Daniel, well, the Son of Man is the Messiah, who comes upon the clouds in glory on the last day. Jesus wants other people to conclude that he is the Son of God as they see his miracles and his teachings. But when he's talking about himself, he calls himself the Son of Man. Jesus is the one who is sowing the seed. And so he's a farmer. Jesus is a farmer in this parable. Jesus is the Son of Man has many other titles, as we read in Isaiah 44 today. The Lord, who is Yahweh, the great I Am, the Eternal One, that's what the Lord means, is also the King of Israel, the true royal king of all time, and his Redeemer, God the Father's Redeemer, whom he will send, is this Jesus, this Son of Man. The Redeemer came through this line from Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, Judah, through David, through Joseph and Mary, the human lineage of Christ. And he comes from the Lord of Hosts, which the Lord of Hosts is the Lord of the armies of warrior angels who surround the Lord in his temple. Jesus and his Father are called the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the only God, which word is Elohim, the one who has power in creation. And he is the only rock, the only fortress, the only bulwark, the only foundation. That is the Son of Man, who is also a farmer who sows seed, which is the Word of God in the world. We honor Jesus as the great farmer, the great sower of the seed. But the sad reality is that when the seed of the Word of God is sown, Jesus indicates many weeds crop up in the field. And so let us look for a moment at the world, the sons of the devil, and the weeds. So they had this picture of Jesus throwing and casting the wheat seed into the fields. But the parable continues that a dastardly deed was done in the middle of the night. Imagine doing this to one of your neighbors. His enemy at night crept into the fields and sowed weeds in the field and then went away. Nobody knows this has happened. He goes into the wheat field and starts throwing weed seeds everywhere. And so as it rains and the sun comes out, the weeds begin to grow. And the master sees all these weeds and his workers, where did all these weeds come from? Master, we sowed wheat. The master knows exactly what has happened. An enemy has done this. He has done this. So they say, shouldn't we pull all the weeds up now? You and I know that some of the weeds that grow, their roots are so deep. If you start pulling up all the weeds, you start pulling up all the plants too. So you chop the weed temporarily rather than trying to pull it up. Here, the master says, no, we have to let them both grow together until harvest, lest you pull all the weeds up, and then you pull all the wheat up too. Don't pull the weeds now. But there will come a time, the master says, when at the harvest the weeds will be brought up first, and they will be bound in bundles and burned. He's indicating that these weeds are the sons of the evil one. These are unbelievers who do not believe, people who are in rebellion against God, who grow beside us in this world. And that enemy who has sown the seed in the middle of the night is Satan, the devil. And so he warns that at judgment day, at the harvest at the end of the world, final judgment will come. The angels will gather up all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, all unbelievers, throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a picture of hell, eternal damnation,
separation from God forever. And you know the reason why people in hell are weeping and gnashing their teeth? They had heard the truth while here on earth, and they simply would not believe. They're grinding their teeth and gnashing their teeth because they realize, how could I have been so blind? How could I have denied God's love when it was proclaimed to me? Woe am I. And thus they weep, and there's the gnashing of teeth. You know, St. Paul says in Romans 8 today that we ought to look at all of creation actually awaiting this last harvest day. If you read your National Geographic, you'll think that creation is eternal and that there isn't a God. You will never read, ever, in National Geographic, which I've been reading for 40 years, because it's a lot of interesting things there, that God created the heavens and the earth. Never. You will never, ever see it. Because from their worldview, the creation is eternal apart from God. And creation is all there is, and we must save all of creation. But in reality, this is what St. Paul says. The whole universe is groaning under the weight of sin. It's suffering. It's burdened. It's subjected to futility, volcanoes and earthquakes and the roaring of the oceans. They're in bondage and decay, like a woman in childbirth. The weakness of mankind, sin and rebellion and destruction and wickedness and eternal separation from God has affected all of creation. In reality, the whole universe will be destroyed and burnt up on the last day. All of it. The stars, the moon, the constellations, the earth, it will all be gone and burnt up. And God will bring forth the new heavens and the new earth. You see, you know this. But the unbelieving world does not. The unbelieving world thinks creation is eternal. But we know only God is eternal. Creation is temporal, and it will all be burned up. And thus Jesus describes hell and the burning of the weeds in the furnace. But we know the whole reason why Jesus came was to save us from that fate. Because we are the wheat and the good seed in the field, the righteous ones. And when that day happens, we will be saved from the fire. We will shine like the sun, and we will be wheat gathered into the barn of heaven. That's what Jesus says. We look then at the good seed and the wheat. The wheat is the good seed that was sown in the field. The plants come up and bear grain. The wheat continues to grow until the harvest. It's rooted in good soil and is gathered into the barn. The picture of heaven, a barn. And Jesus explains, the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The reapers are the good angels sent out into the world on the last day. The Son of Man in his kingdom will declare all those wheat, his righteous ones, who will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I don't exactly know what that means. How are we going to shine like the sun? But we'll find out on that day. And how is it that we sinful people can be good wheat who bear fruit and can be called righteous ones? Because as St. Paul says in the epistle lesson, our righteousness is Jesus Christ. The glory of God has been revealed to us as the sons of God and the children of God, that the creation will be set free because of Christ's resurrection and his death in our place. We are the first fruits of the Spirit. The reason we are called righteous is because we've been adopted into God's kingdom, clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our baptism, and through faith in him, we've been redeemed and purchased from sin, death, and hell. And we have Jesus' righteousness and life and the gift of heaven. This is why Jesus came, to redeem us, to adopt us into his kingdom. Now this is true hope. True hope in the Bible doesn't mean, gee, I hope it happens. True hope is the certainty. When the whole universe is burnt up, I, you, we, through faith in Christ, will be saved. We can't see this yet. But just like you're waiting all summer for your garden to grow, we must be patient until this last day comes. And by the way, you're not doing this alone. You know, in all of your sufferings and all your afflictions, did you know that the Holy Spirit is interceding for you with groanings that words can't even describe? The mind of the Spirit and the will of God, He knows exactly what you're dealing with right now. Exactly. He's groaning inside. He's interceding for you. We are not doing this on our own, but with the Holy Spirit, according to the will of God, who gave you faith so that you are wheat and like a good tree that bears good fruit. So rejoice, my friends. You see the reality that Jesus just described. At the harvest day, though the weeds are thrown into the fiery furnace, the wheat, the righteous ones, are gathered into the barn of heaven. And through the righteousness of Jesus, we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Only in Jesus Christ are we that good wheat. Only in Him can we be accounted righteous. So my friends, after we take communion and we go to Bible class and Sunday school and leave here, you're going back into the world that doesn't believe any of this. But you do believe this. You have been given eyes and ears by the living God. The universe may pass away, but the Word of God remains forever. The treasure of the gospel that has come to you in preaching and teaching, baptism and absolution and Holy Communion. Despite the tragic reality of hell, we have the joyous anticipation and reality of heaven that awaits us, when we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Having heard the word of Jesus, let us hear with our ears, meditate with our mind, and ponder these wonderful things in our heart. For we are righteous in Christ, and will shine like the sun, the kingdom of our Father. Until that harvest day, may we be faithful till Jesus returns. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds, and faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Confess the Nicene Creed, page 158, we stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and descended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayer of the Church, let us pray. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we are too quick to judge your ways and too bold to presume upon your wisdom. So grant us grace that we may always trust in your word,
Fulfill our baptism of vocation of worship, witness, prayer, and works of mercy, both to our families and to our neighbors in need. Lord, in your mercy, loving God, we give you thanks for the gift of health. We must never take it for granted. Hear our prayers on behalf of the sick, the aged, the infirm, those who mourn, and those near death. Grant them healing in accord with your will and grace to sustain them in their need. We especially pray for Glenn Repke, Laura Newell, Teresa Webster, and Candy Darmody, Steve Favors, Ellen Lighton, Marcia Buckmaster, Linda Fillmore, Jennifer and Averill Plain. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant, O Lord, that you be with the family of Cameron Weber and his death this past week. We thank you for your mercy to Cameron as he joins the saints now in heaven. And be with the family that mourns his death with a sure and blessed reunion in heaven. For Heavenly Father, when we are wounded by the sufferings of this life, we need your grace to sustain us in hope and equip us with patience. And give to all the need to pass through the days of trouble and be found faithful when Christ comes in his glory at the last day. Lord, in your mercy, continue to bless our church, early childhood center, and campus ministry. Also, Lord, we ask that you would bring an end to the coronavirus. We ask you to bring an end to this epidemic and grant healing, strength, and recovery and assistance to all who are in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have in our land. Bless our president, Congress, governor, all who judge and administer the laws. Give them wisdom and the actions to protect our lives and livelihood. As you bless Doug Jupe, Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, Ricardo Patanga, Kevin Stevenson, Danny Green, and Courtney Tate. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gentle Lord, we ask you to visit the homes of all of your people. Make them places of blessing and love where faith is nurtured. We live our lives in holiness and righteousness. For those who celebrate their baptism and birthday, Andre Favors, Devin Favors, Gavin Hines, John Deepy, Eloise Shem, Mary Rogers, Robert Huntley Jr., and Derek Meinke. And also those who celebrate their anniversaries, Jeremy and Elizabeth Conkling, Doran and Roger Beavers, David and Susan Hartman, and bless our former vicar Robert Schrader and Paige Jones, who will be married on July 25th. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you for the work of LCMSU as we continue to bring the gospel to students in our country and foreign students as well. Open up all opportunities for them to learn about Jesus. Hear our prayers on behalf of Jesus Christ, that on that last day we are found worthy to join the saints and enter into the gift of eternal life and life forevermore. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You may place your offerings in the plates at the doors. And this time fill out the ritual friendship. Put it in the basket as you leave. As the organist plays the voluntary, you may be seated. You sing the offertory, page 159. We stand to sing.
Lamb of God,
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
164, the canticle Thank the Lord, we stand to sing.
Thank you.